This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Work's underway on creating the Cincinnati Nature Center's new Center for Conservation and Stewardship. It'll be located in the historic Grosbeck Lodge on the Nature Center's Rowoods property in Union Township. And joining us to talk about the new Center for Conservation and Stewardship and strengthening conservation efforts in our region is Cincinnati Nature Center Executive Director Bill Hoppel. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Bill, good to see you this afternoon.
Great to be with you.
Bill, tell me some of the history of the Grosbeck Lodge. This is just a really incredible place where this new center is going to be located.
The building itself is very interesting. It was built in 1920. It was modeled after a house on the grounds of Gertrude Jekyll, a British landscape architect in England. And she was actually commissioned by Grace Grosbeck and her husband, Glenn Denning, to lay out their grounds here in Cincinnati. They lived in the house from 1920 till Grace's death in 1957. And then the property was acquired by the Presbytery of Cincinnati, and many Cincinnatians remember the Wildwood Camp and Conference Center, a Christian camp and retreat center, which the Presbytery operated until 2004. And then we were fortunate to be able to buy 235 acres, including the house.
And since then, I understand the lodge is on the historic registry, isn't it?
We were able to list the house on the National Register of Historic Places, along with our other lodge, the Krippendorf Lodge, which was listed back in 2011. So we've got two gems.
You do. What kind of work are you going to do to get the lodge ready to become this new center?
Well, the building itself, actually, we were really pleased to realize when the architects and engineers looked at it about 3 years ago that it's actually very sound. The thick stone walls haven't gone anywhere. The foundation's solid. The roof is in good shape. It needs some repair. So most of the work is interior. We will be replacing the windows for energy conservation. And then completely replacing plumbing, electric, HVAC. We're actually doing very little to the actual floor plan of the building. The old kitchen that the Presbytery had modified, it will be converted back into a small catering kitchen. And we will be renovating the old ladies' powder room and coat room area into modern bathrooms. But the living room and dining room will be kept as meeting rooms, and the second floor bedrooms will be converted into offices, and the master bedroom will become a GIS, computer-based teaching laboratory.
Has the building been used for anything up to this point?
It's been sitting vacant since we bought the property in 2005. Up until that time, the Presbytery used it as a dormitory, office space, dining hall to operate their camp and conference center.
Now, how much is the renovation going to cost, Bill?
It's about a $2 million project. And we've raised most all of the money. We're getting started. We hope to finish the fundraising by the end of this year. But it's about a 10-month construction project, so we wanted to get underway while the weather was still good and have it ready by next spring.
How fortunate do you feel to have a place like this where you can put this new center?
Well, it's really, really fascinating because the building is so structurally sound. And you can imagine if this were a 1920 residence that had oak floors and a lot of delicate interior, it might not be a good fit for an actual field laboratory. But the floor of the living room and dining room are actually stone. So we could have people coming in their boots during the day after coming out, being out in the field. And then that night we could be having an event because you can't hurt the surface. So the structure really is a good fit, both in terms of its construction, but also in terms of its location. It's located away from our main center, down a road that puts you in the middle of the forest. And so literally the laboratory is right outside the door. So the ability to teach classes, and which is what the center will be doing. As I say, we couldn't have picked a better location.
Now, tell me about Cincinnati Nature Center itself. How was it founded?
We were founded in 1965 by people refer to as Stanley Rowe and his band of 13. Our remaining living founding trustee is Helen Black, who many people, if you're involved in conservation or the environment in Cincinnati, you know the name Helen Black and her former husband, Bob Black, who's not with us. But they had a vision to create a place where people could experience the natural world and especially provide an opportunity for children to get connected to nature at a time, which is actually still true today, when we have a diminishing habitat and natural areas. And so they started with 175 acres, and we now are pleased to have a little over 1,000 acres at our property at Roe Woods and over 650 acres at Long Branch Farm and Trails out in Goshen. So with that 1,600 acres, we still have the same mission that we did 50 years ago to connect people with the natural world for their own personal benefit, but also with the vision for the new center to take that knowledge and to help go out and actually actively promote conservation in the entire region.
And so the Nature Center's grown quite a bit over its years.
We've experienced significant growth over the last 6 or 7 years. Our membership has nearly doubled to a little over 10,000 households. It actually makes us the largest private membership of a private nature center in the country. And our visitation has grown to over 170,000 visits per year. So yes, we've experienced significant growth, and that's part of what's driving this vision for the new Center for Conservation. We've got the ability to reach a lot of people, and so the ability to take the message of the importance of conservation for this entire tri-state region is just strengthened by the fact that we have access to a larger, much larger membership and hopefully larger profile by getting the word out as we are today.
How much does the Nature Center work in collaboration with other organizations, like the Cincinnati Zoo, for example, on issues of conservation and stewardship?
Mostly through indirect collaboration. I mean, there's a really good network now between all of the conservation and environmental organizations, the parks, the zoo, the Civic Garden Center, and a number of others. We've developed a significant network through the new, fairly new organization, Green Umbrella. I think you've had Green Umbrella on the show. The land team and the Meet Me Outdoors recreation team are both avenues for connecting all of us that are in the environmental field so that the directors and the staff all know each other. And we'll coordinate and collaborate on events on a pretty regular basis.
You're starting to talk some about what prompted the creation of the new center. Can you build on that some? Why what's the need for it? And
sure.
What drove this?
Well, first, we acquired a property. We mostly wanted it for the land, but then we had these buildings. And about 4 years ago, we were actually, it was the idea of our former employee, a guy named Jason Brown Knight, who was our conservation and stewardship director at the time. He came up with the concept of a center for landscape ecology. And as time evolved and we talked and as we were looking at the Grosbeck Lodge and saying, you know, what do we do with it, this idea of actually going out and training and providing education about conservation, both the importance of conservation of our lands, but also the methods and how to, it just has evolved over the last 3 or 4 years. And very quickly we said, well, what about Grosbeck Lodge? It could, and the more, as I say, the more we looked into it, the more we realized there was an opportunity for a really, really good fit. So we retained architects and engineers to look at it, and then developed the vision, and then began the fundraising that brought us to where we are today.
So let's talk about what's going to be in the new facility. Describe what this is going to be like.
Well, classrooms, offices. We're going to take the old garage from the Grosbeck Lodge and make a field laboratory where both our volunteers and our staff have the opportunity to have their equipment and to be able to bring samples directly in from the field, again, without having to walk through corridors or carpeted halls. The other significant piece is we're going to be launching a scientific research program. We've always permitted scientific research on our property, but not sort of driven, if you will, by us. Professor at UC or Miami or Northern Kentucky might see the Nature Center as an appropriate study site, and we would give them permission to do that. What we're going to be doing is actually focusing and inviting researchers to do research on native habitat, impact of non-native species on the native habitat, and actually use that research to help inform better management practice. How do we best abate non-native species invasion? What are the best plants to put in after you've removed the non-natives to restore the habitat that's been hurt by our behaviors?
So will part of this be growing beds where you can study plants and then different insects that interact with these garden areas and that kind of thing?
Yes, we'll have in most cases it'll be studies just out on the land. Our property happens to be a very interesting mosaic of about 17 different vegetative habitats. And so we've got everything from really mature forest to more recent disturbed forest to open fields. I'll give you an example. One of the projects we're in the midst of right now is restoring our grasslands. We have about 111 acres of grasslands that have mostly are old agricultural fields, and we've been in the process of restoring them to native habitat with our new conservation initiative of milkweed to monarchs, the monarch conservation. We're restoring those fields to higher concentration of pollinator habitat. And so in doing that, we're doing a lot of study of what was growing there before. Once we plant the new species mix, are we attracting a variety of different insects and bird life? Are we improving the species diversity? And all of that kind of work allows us to provide another direction that we're hoping to develop is field research projects for both high school and college students to get them out of the classroom and out in the field. And we've actually had quite a few faculty members and high school teachers say that they're looking for these opportunities and are asking, you know, how can we do that? So we'll factor that in as well. A lot of citizen science, monitoring presence, absence of different species, time of year that the species arrive, is it changing over time? All of that's possible in our diverse habitat.
You're talking about milkweeds to monarchs. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that program that the Nature Center has going on.
That is our first regional conservation initiative that was kicked off in the fall of 2014, where we realized under the name of this new Center for Conservation, but we realized that although there was a lot of work going on in this area, nobody had really stepped up to take a lead. And so we started by just distributing seed packets to gain awareness. And lo and behold, we've now distributed like 250,000 seed packets.
Wow.
And so we've gotten a tremendous amount of awareness. And hopefully we'll see some impact by getting more milkweed plants growing. We're seeing it on our property where we've converted these fields. And we're getting people to not only plant the milkweed, but be on the lookout and report in when they see monarchs this summer. And we're seeing some increase. So that's an example of the kind of work we want this new Center for Conservation. We'd be open to ideas from members and the community of, as we continue milkweed to monarchs, what's next? What are the other ways in which we can involve the citizenry to have an impact on improving the quality of our land and water in the region?
Well, what are some of the other ways you see the new center bolstering conservation stewardship in the area?
Well, I mentioned the first is that we're going to continue to do what we've been doing, and that is maintaining our lands as a diverse, increasingly native habitat, what we're referring to as maintaining them as a living laboratory for teaching. I mentioned education is the second primary objective. We'll be offering more classes and more programs. And we're not expecting, Mark, to be the teachers of all this. This is where I come in, where the collaboration comes in. If staff at the zoo, as you mentioned, or Hamilton County, Great Parks of Hamilton County, or others have the expertise, or professors, we're seeing the center having the opportunity to sort of be the infrastructure, have it posted on the website, schedule it, handle the registration, and provide the location. But we, again, don't have to be the teacher, if you will, of all those. So back to the list of five. Living laboratory, education, conservation initiatives, like I just mentioned, research I mentioned, and the fifth spoke of the wheel is a working in the region to help conserve and protect green space. We are now a strategic partner of a new land trust called the Cardinal Land Conservancy, which is serving the seven counties of Southwest Ohio. There are other land trusts in the region. Probably one of the best known is both the Nature Conservancy of the state of Ohio, but also the Little Miami Conservancy. And there are several others, but they each have their own sort of niche. Hillside Trust is a land trust. But the Hillside Trust is focused mostly on hillsides. Little Miami is focused on the river corridor. And there are large areas of this region that do not have a land trust that is working to put protective easements on green space and farmland. And the Center for Conservation will be partnering with Cardinal to do that.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Lisa in Wilmington joins us now. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, I'm looking forward to maybe becoming a member. I forgot I really enjoyed my visit about 20 years ago. But I'm down the road a bit in Wilmington. And are you thinking about a region-wise being the Dayton-Cincinnati region, or how far of a region is the first part of my question?
Yeah, okay. We're really defining the region as the 13-county sort of metro area. So maybe not quite as far as Dayton, but certainly Wilmington, which is in Clinton County, correct?
Yes. Oh, great. There's several properties in my family that we enjoy nature on, and my sister inherited like 10 acres from our grandmother that has a lot of trees that she intends keeping intact. It's right next to an industrial area outside of Vandalia. But I'm also thinking about a new property I'm now living on and one that another family member has had in the family. Is there a way to maybe connect with you guys to say, you know, get more help in understanding what we have and how we might help protect the natural environment that's on it right now?
Absolutely. And that actually is the really specific mission of the Cardinal Land Conservancy. And so you can get my name and contact number at the Nature Center, or you can go on the website to cardinallandconservancy.org and get information. But that's exactly those smaller areas like that are privately owned are the sweet spot, if you will, of Cardinal's mission.
And we do have a link to the Cincinnati Nature Center's website as well at WVXU.org, so you can use that as a resource. So you mentioned high school students. Mm-hmm. Who else do you see as being the audience for this new center?
Landowners, municipalities, and public landowners. Nature Center has been, for the last couple of years, hosting in conjunction with Green Umbrella and OKI's Conservation Committee, hosting workshops and seminars. We will continue to do that, targeting larger landowners like municipalities, townships, parks, teaching both not only methods, but also providing connections to others to share information.
Yeah, Bill, are we fortunate in this area to have all the different conservation groups? And
we are very fortunate. In fact, I contend that one of the most unique components that defines this area that we all appreciate is the green space that we have. And so one of the motivations of the Center for Conservation is we need to be much more active and proactive to protect it, or we won't have it. The Cincinnati parks are known for their quality, and the tree cover in the city of Cincinnati is one of the highest of metropolitan areas. We've protected a lot through other parks, but there's a lot of unprotected green space that we need to protect, and we need to know more about.
And you see this new center as being a big plus for this.
Absolutely. That's really our mission.
Well, Bill, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Cincinnati Nature Center Executive Director Bill Hopple.